Chapter 33. Twinkling eyes, and a pockmarked face, wore a fur cap, a dark corduroy jacket, greasy fustian trousers, and an apron. His wardrobe was, in truth, rather out of repair, but he excused himself to the company by stating that his time was only out an hour before, and that, in consequence of having worn the regimentals for 6 weeks past, he had not been able to bestow any attention on his private clothes. Mr. Chitling added, with strong marks of irritation, that the new way of fumigating clothes up yonder was infernal and constitutional, for it burnt holes in them, and there was no remedy against the county. The same remark he considered to apply to the regulation mode of cutting the hair, which he held to be decidedly unlawful. Mr. Chitling wound up his observations by stating that he had not touched a drop of anything for 42 more long hard working days, and that he wished he might be busted if he weren't as dry as a lime basket. Apostrophe, where do you think the gentleman has come from, Oliver? Apostrophe, inquired the Jew, with a grin, as the other boys put a bottle of spirits on the table. I don't know, sir, apostrophe, replied Oliver. Who's that? Apostrophe, inquired Tom Chitling, casting a contemptuous look at Oliver. A young friend of mine, my dear, apostrophe, replied the Jew. He's in luck, then, apostrophe, said the young man, with a meaning look at Fagin. Never mind where I came from, young un, you'll find your way there, soon enough, I'll bet a crown. Apostrophe, at this sally, the boys laughed. After some more jokes on the same subject, they exchanged a few short whispers with Fagin, and withdrew. After some words apart between the last comer and Fagin, they drew their chairs towards the fire, and the Jew, telling Oliver to come and sit by him, led the conversation to the topics most calculated to interest his hearers. These were the great advantages of the trade, the proficiency of the Dodger, the amiability of Charlie Bates, and the liberality of the Jew himself. At length these subjects displayed signs of being thoroughly exhausted, and Mr. Chitling did the same. For the House of Correction becomes fatiguing after a week or two. Miss Betsy accordingly withdrew, and left the party to their repose. From this day, Oliver was seldom left alone, but was placed in almost constant communication with the two boys, who played the old game with the Jew every day. Whether for their own improvement or Oliver's, Mr. Fagin best knew. At other times the old man would tell them stories of robberies he had committed in his younger days, mixed up with so much that was droll and curious, that Oliver could not help laughing heartily, and showing that he was amused in spite of all his better feelings. In short, the wily old Jew had the boy in his toils. Having prepared his mind, by solitude and gloom, to prefer any society to the companionship of his own sad thoughts in such a dreary place, he was now slowly instilling into his soul the poison which he hoped would blacken it, and change its hue forever. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.